We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a Bible question. What was the name of Jacob's two wives? Now, we know he had two wives. He also had two handmaids. The name of the handmaids are Bilhah and Zilpah. But what was the name of Jacob's two wives? We're going to have a study today of Jacob and Esau, and particularly about Jacob returning to Esau. You might remember when he left his brother Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. But now Jacob is returning, and the golden text for this lesson is just beautiful. It's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Well, now the lesson text is Genesis 33, and in the opening verse, it has the name of Jacob's two wives. And so we'll read that in just a moment and answer that Bible question. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now for our Bible question. Now, Jacob's two wives had been named earlier than Genesis chapter 33, but they're also named in the first verse of Genesis 33. And I'm going to be reading Genesis 33, 1 through 11. And so here are their names. It says in Genesis 33, 1, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. Well, that's the names of his wives, Leah, the older sister, and Rachel, the younger sister. Let me continue with this reading. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he himself passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, Who are these with thee? He said, The children whom God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves, and Leah also and her children came near and bowed themselves, and after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this company which I meet? And he said, To find favor in thy sight, my lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Let that which thou hast be thine. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found favor in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, forasmuch as I have seen thy face as one seeth the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my gift that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Now, the devotional reading for this is found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. and bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. We're going to look at Elam's notes for this passage, a Sunday school lesson on this passage that he wrote for the Sunday schools of June the 6th, 1926. And it begins with this geographical note. It is well to learn the extent and location of the land of Gilead, sometimes called Mountain of Gilead, and sometimes simply Gilead. It included several mountains. Gilead means rocky region, but it contained much fertile and beautiful country and was noted for its production of balmy spices and myrrh. It extended from Bashan to the north, to Ammon to the south, from the Jordan on the west to Arabia on the east. The Jabbok was a stream which flowed out of the mountains of Gilead and emptied into the Jordan about 25 miles above the Dead Sea. Now for the helps and hints for the teachers. The time of this lesson is at least 20, if not 40 years since that of the last lesson when Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau. Many events happened in the meantime. Greatly encouraged by the vision at Bethel, Jacob hastened on to his journey to Haran. He halted at a well in a field where the shepherds met to water their flocks. On account of the scarcity of water in that country, necessary precaution must be taken to see that all receive justice. Jacob inquired of Laban and his welfare. Rachel, Laban's daughter, kept her father's flock, and when she came to the watering place, Jacob rolled the stone away from the well's mouth and watered her flock. He informed her who he was, kissed her, and wept for joy. Laban received his nephew most cordially, and after 1 month proposed to pay him for his services. It was then Jacob offered to work the 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. But Laban, according to the marriage customs of that country, easily deceived Jacob and gave him Leah instead of Rachel. Leah was weak-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob was a supplanter and naturally selfish, but he met his match somewhat in his father-in-law. Yet, in the end, he triumphed over Laban, ascribing his success to the help of God. In no way, however, did God approve of Jacob's tricks and deception. Laban did Jacob a great wrong in this affair, and it was also an injustice to Leah and Rachel. When departing from Laban, Jacob made the statement of Genesis 31:38-42. Here we read, "These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it, and my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from mine eyes. These 20 years have I been in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy flock. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me. Surely, now thou hast sent me away empty. God hath seen my affliction, and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight." Thus, all the while, Laban was seeking to take advantage of Jacob. Jacob made to his wives the statement of Genesis 31:4-16. Here we read, And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before time, but the God of my father have been with me, and ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the flock bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringneck shall be thy wages, then all bear the flock ring-streaked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father, and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the flock conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the he-goats which leaped upon the flock were ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob? And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the he-goats which leap upon the flock are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return to the land of thy nativity. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not accounted by him as foreigners? For he hath sold us, and has also quite devoured our money. For all the riches which God hath taken away from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. And so the Lord said to Jacob, Return into the land of thy fathers, into thy kindred, and I will be with thee. To avoid any trouble with Laban, Jacob gathered his family and flocks and quietly departed, unawares, from Laban. Laban followed him to the mountain of Gilead, but God had warned him not to speak to Jacob either good or bad. There they made a friendly agreement and set up a stone for a witness. Jacob called it Jigar Shahadutha, or the heap of witness, as it is in the margin. And Jacob called it Galeed, the heap of witness in the Hebrew, and Mizpah, or watchtower. For he said, Jehovah watch between me and thee, when we're absent one from another. Jacob made an offering to God, and all ate bread together. And Jacob swore that he would not pass that pillar to harm Laban, and Laban was not to pass it to harm Jacob. Laban tarried all night, and the next morning kissed his daughters and their children and returned. Jacob then went on his way to assure Jacob that those who were for him were more than those who were against him. A host of angels met him, and he called the place Mahanaim, that is, the place of two hosts. But the fear of Esau arose in Jacob. He had not forgotten his treatment of Esau. He sent messengers in advance to report to Esau his prosperity and to ask that he might find grace in his brother's sight. The messengers returned to say only that Esau was coming to meet Jacob with 400 men. Now we read that Jacob wrestled with an angel. Jacob had reached the river Jabbok, which means pouring forth, or turbulent stream. The report of the messengers, already noticed, filled Jacob with fear and distress, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two companies, and he said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the company which is left shall escape. I can imagine that fear. Here Esau had threatened to kill him, and Jacob had fled, and now he hears Esau's coming to him with 400 men. Well, Jacob didn't think that this was for good, though it was, and he would soon find out that his brother had forgiven him.